Blog Talk Radio.
All right, thank you for listening. This is Bigfoot Ground Zero. My name is Dave. And, you know, as always, I know I talk about it, but I do want to stress that we do appreciate the fact that you take us wherever you're going as a downloaded podcast, if you're listening on Saturday night here at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're here every Saturday night going forward, and certainly we thank you. I know the staff does. We've got some folks really working hard behind the scenes to pull everything together. I just wanted to give a shout-out before we get started to Rebecca Ann Slick, who has been doing yeoman's work as far as putting together the social media aspect of what it is we do. I mean, you can have the best show in the world, but if nobody knows about it and you can't pull these things together, then kind of goes by the wayside. So, Rebecca, thanks for your help with that. And I also wanted to give a shout out to Christopher Spencer, otherwise known as Chris, at Tootle River Valley Skookum. He's been kind enough to lend his time to the show plenty of times in the past. We'll hear from him, I'm sure, down the road as far as research goes and you know, sounds he's recorded, and it's just great insight. And we'll pull in some other scientific, you know, researchers as well. But this kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about as far as the show is going to be going forward. In the past, for those of you who have listened, you know that we have a heavy emphasis on the science behind the sighting. Well, we're still going to do that. We're going to have the science behind the sighting. But at the same time, I realized that there is a legitimate campfire lore about Bigfoot, right? Because this is one of the topics out there that still has that mystery to it. There's not all the discoveries haven't been made. You know, we don't have anybody that I know of that is actually, you know, sitting with these things in clans and actually learning about what they're doing. There's no Jane Goodall of Bigfoot right now, right? We don't have a body. We have the Patterson-Gimlin film, which we know, based on certain things that we're learning as we put this thing into high definition, we're learning more about the locomotion of apes to human gait, that, you know, there's a lot out there, but there's still that lore, right? There's still the things we don't know. We love to sit around the campfire. We love to talk about Bigfoot stories we've heard. We love to share our own stories. So I wanted to kind of meld the two together, right? Because I think you can do that. I think there's a place for it. And it keeps the legitimacy of the topic, but it also keeps it entertaining, right? So I kind of want to walk, you know, that middle road. And I'd love to hear what you folks think. Always feel free to reach out at BigfootGroundZero@gmail.com, BigfootGroundZero@gmail.com. You can also reach us. We do have a call-in line, not live for the show here. But if you've had a sighting or know someone who has and you'd like to get in touch, give us a call. It's 508-418-9232, 508-418-9232. Most likely you'll get a voice message. Feel free to leave your information, just your name and your email address or phone number, whatever you're comfortable with. We'll get back to you. We'll talk to you about your sighting and, you know, quite possibly it could appear here on the show. So it's all about participation. If you're listening, you like what you hear, you want to chip in, feel free to do so. I wanted to build more of a community this time around as well, so feel free to go to Facebook and look up Bigfoot Ground Zero. It's Bigfoot Ground Zero or at Bigfoot Ground Zeros, I think, is another way to reach us on Facebook. We do have Twitter and Instagram presence as well, so we'll get that information out to you. I can't find it right now in front of me. Shame on me as the host. I should have that. But anyway, that's it. Yeah, you're listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero. My name is Dave. Rebecca, thank you so much. Chris, thank you so much. For all you guys that are listening, thank you so much. This is Bigfoot Ground Zero, reloaded, all new, ready to go.
You're listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero. To contact the show, email BigfootGroundZero@gmail.com.
Thank you.
415.
Wednesday the 7th, this month, October 7th, a day I'll never forget. I'm standing in a part of southwest Georgia. I'm looking at the hill that I came over. Northwest is where I'm looking at the hill, exactly where I was at. It was just standing there. I thought somebody checking the mailbox or something. And then it's just like all of a sudden, it took three steps, and the fourth step, it was off the asphalt from the left to the right, and it was gone. When you lay eyes on one, man, this thing was 7.5-8 foot tops. This thing just turned. It walked from the left to the right in three steps across this two-lane highway. And I realized what I had seen after it was gone. It's like, man, you know, what did I just see? The minute it stepped off, the light went off in my head. My God, it's like I went into a daze. My mind, like, it just like froze. Did I just see what I just saw? And it's crazy, man. There's really no words for it. There happened to be not a single vehicle on the road. As many times I've come on this road, come down that hill, when I realized what I had just seen, I sped up to get down quicker from where I was at. There was not a single activity of any person around any of the places. It was just nobody, like, around, you know? I wasn't shocked at the fact that it was there because I already knew that they are real. But when you see one, it's like a whole other world. A whole other world. It's something, there's really no words you can put to it. Unless you see one, there's no way you can really describe, you know? There was nobody on the road but me. When you see something that big, I don't think you really want to stop, because the thing didn't look at me when it turned and walked. It was like it didn't run. It just took a natural like stride, but the three steps and the fourth step, I saw a step off this road. What if that thing happens to not be having a good day or something, you know, and it comes back out at you? What are you going to do? If you don't know how to pray, you'll learn how to pray real quick.
Bigfoot, Ground Zero.
July of 1976, I was 12 years old. We were up camping. My family, my aunt and uncle, and some friends. There were two campers, one motorhome, and I slept in a tent with my pup. And it was the wee hours of one of the mornings. We were camped by a creek, and I had set my tent up near a large tree. And it just so happened that there happened to be a full moon or close to full moon that night. And in the wee hours of the morning, I heard something coming either down off the hill that we were near, or down the road that was coming off the hill. You could hear the lava rock crunching, and it wasn't a deer or anything walking. It was 2 feet walking. You could hear it crunching as it walked across the road. And then it went down to the creek, and you could hear it walking on the rocks, the river rock, and you could hear the rock shifting as it walked. And when it got down to the creek, it apparently picked up two rocks and would hit them in rhythms of three. It did that 3 or 4 times, and I was petrified. My pup was asleep. It didn't even respond to it, but I was scared to death of what it was. I didn't know what it was. And then you could hear it get up and start walking across the rocks again, and it was heading for my tent. And I was in sheer panic, just frozen stiff. And the moon cast its light on the backside of my tent, and you could see about 3/4 of the way across was the big tree I was up against. And it kept walking and walking, and finally it got to the tent, and I could see from like chest down the shadow in my tent of it starting to walk by. It was quite large, and you could tell it was hairy, and standing upright walking. And when it did that, I saw that, I screamed, and it shot straight out. And my dad came out with his gun out of the motorhome, and I made him make sure there was nothing in there before I came out and went in. No one, I told him what it was, what I thought it was, and nobody believed me and said, no, it was a bear. But there were no prints, no nothing that we could see in the rocky ground that we were camped around, but we left that day, the next morning, to go home. That was experience number one. My second one was, at the time I didn't know what it was. It was just a sound, but it was walking. We were deer hunting. The place is called Eagle Meadows. This is like a half mile from our camp. They went to the top of the hill, and the object was to walk through the brush and stuff and drive any deer down to the people waiting below. And this area we called Buck Hill because it was bucks everywhere on this hill. And we dropped at the top. I was walking down. I walked through the manzanita. It's probably 6-8 feet high through there. And then I come to this grove of trees. They were probably 30-40 feet high. It was like it was an old burn area, so they were forestry department put them in, and they hadn't thinned them out yet. It was so dark in there. Really couldn't see anything. I got about 50 yards into this, and behind me I heard the Tasmanian devil talking, you know, how you kind of run it over, exactly like the Tasmanian devil, not like the Bugs Bunny show. That's what it was doing. It sounded like it was talking to itself. It sounded like words, but they weren't intelligible to me. And I was walking from north to south, and it was walking from east to west behind me in the manzanita. I couldn't see it, but I could follow the sound as it went across, and that it just stuck in my mind. There's nobody else hunting up where we hunt. It's the smallest zone in the state, and nobody hunts archery season there except for my family. And there's no reason that this is like 26 miles from any town or anything. There should be nobody there on top of this hill. I realized that's probably what it was a Bigfoot, because nothing else is going to make that sound.
Dr. John Bindernagel.
I am very supportive of the amateur investigators, because they are doing the job that we credentialed scientists it's our responsibility. It's our professional responsibility. Scientists really do resist discoveries which seem to come somehow, well, in their eyes, out of the blue. Suddenly there are these tracks found in California in 1958. Suddenly there's the Patterson-Gimlin film in 67. And they're saying, what? No, we can't be unaware of this. Been unaware of it. And for some reason, we've chosen to remain unaware of it. There were a lot of heads-ups in the historical record. And we, of course, go back further to the First Nations people, early Americans and Aboriginal people in Canada. They've been telling us, but we've misinterpreted that. Now we've had the recent accounts, and we've chosen to dismiss them as hallucinations or hunters coming home from the pub. So here I am working up in this village, Alert Bay, on the BC coast, and people are hearing these vocalizations, those who are up at night or maybe working on computers and the night owls, and they open the window and say, oh my goodness, I heard it again last night. It sounded like there were two of them calling back and forth. It was really loud, and it went on for almost 10 minutes. We're very dependent on the dedicated amateurs, because this is their thing. They're filling in the vacuum which we scientists have left. We have chosen to leave it. We need, I don't like to, you know, push my opinions on. I say, well, you listen to what bears can do. And bears can do some pretty amazing vocalizations. You listen to wolves and coyotes. You listen to this. And then listen to this. People don't want all that information. They just want to say, is this Bigfoot or not? Bioacoustics is a very large field in wildlife research these days. There's help available. Think of the platypus from Australia. Skin was sent to a museum in North America. I think it was American Museum of Natural History. They said, oh, someone's is a hoax. Someone's playing a joke on us. Here's the duck. Here's the bill of a duck. Turned out to be a real mammal. I'm just not accepting of the long-term resistance in the face of all this emerging evidence.
Bigfoot, Ground Zero.
In 2005, I went hiking with a friend. We were going to go out to an overlook in southern West Virginia. We weren't planning on staying out that long, so neither one of us brought a flashlight. We ended up being out there till dark, and we're trying to find our way down the pass to the car. After a while, we started hearing something in the brush to our left, down the hill from us. First, we thought maybe there were some deer browsing along, but it got so loud, and it sounded like a very large human walking. The footfalls were just so heavy. It was running through my mind trying to figure out what it could be. I'd grown up on a farm, so I was trying to rule out cow, horse, animals that were loose. Every time we would stop to hear it more clearly, we'd hear one more footfall and then complete silence. After a while, we were getting so terrified that we were afraid of stopping any longer to keep listening. And just trying to move as quickly as we could in the dark down the road without running. Just when I thought that maybe we were just having a big animal that was not going to cause us any harm, walking down on a game trail lower than us, I started hearing what sounded like a grumbling language. It was garbled. It didn't sound like English or any language I could put in my mind. That's when I started to panic more than I had been, because the only thing I could think of was that it was demonic. Then we both panicked. Our eyes were so big when we looked at each other, and we must have looked like ghosts when we got closer to the trailhead and ran into some people with flashlights heading out to the overlook. We didn't say a thing. We just kept going as quickly as we could without running. Neither one of us wanted to talk about it. Told several other people afterwards. One of my friends had been to the overlook at night and had said she had heard what she described as demonic screaming. We all decided that there was something evil going on there and none of us wanted any part of it, and we shouldn't speak about it again. Almost 10 years later, I heard the Sierra sounds. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I panicked and went right back to that night. It was so similar to what I had heard, I couldn't believe it. I hadn't known really anything about Bigfoot when it had originally happened, so that hadn't gone through my mind when I was trying to think of what could be behind us. While it was all going on, I was panicking. I was trying not to run. My friend and I kept looking at each other. I kind of feel like we were both waiting for the other to bolt and just follow each other down the trail in the dark. We could see the trail just enough to keep on it, but we both knew if we ran, that was the worst thing to do. What was terrifying was that we didn't know what was following us. Looking back now, it's not as scary, because I think it would have hurt us if it wanted to. If I can call it a voice, it sounded deep and guttural, but it didn't just sound like grunting. It sounded like someone with a very, very deep and guttural, almost evil voice was talking to somebody quietly beside him. It was definitely keeping up with us, but it wasn't completely beside us. It was just parallel and behind us. And because we were up on the ridge, the trail was on a ridge, and where we were hearing it was just below us on the hill in the dark. We couldn't see anything. We couldn't see through the trees into the dark. but we knew it was right there. I believe we encountered Sasquatch.
Bigfoot, Ground Zero, program runtime terminated.